sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Go. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is our guest tonight. Joseph and or Dr. Drew do not have sound in their headphones.
We have it, but it keeps breaking up, and now we don't.
It's a shocking revelation. Liar! I'm calling you a liar, Drew.
No, I swear to you, sir.
I'm telling the truth.
I cannot believe a piece of equipment in this god-awful cesspool of an armpit of a radio station.
What are you talking about, K-Rock?
No.
Westwood 1.
K-Rock's fine. We're not at K-Rock. We're at Westwood 2.
I mean, as far as I ever knew, Loveline was on K-Rock. I don't know anything about Westwood 2.
It is on K-Rock. We just are unlucky. For some reason, we can't seem to get into the K-Rock building, even though I've been lobbying for it for nine months.
Even though you are the fixture show of K-Rock, like for the last two decades or whatever
fixture,
it is.
Yeah.
I love Joseph's enthusiasm. Joseph, let me just get you on the right page with Joseph. Joseph is best known from Third Rock from the Sun all those years. His hair's shorter now, and he's grown up a little more. I'm sure people recognize you, but maybe not as much as they would have if
3 years ago.
Yeah, honestly, man, people recognize me every day because the show's on every day now. And
your hair was always so much longer.
My hair was longer, but
you don't look like yourself at 14 anymore.
Well, I appreciate you saying so because a lot of people say the contrary, and I have a lot of issues surrounding, you know, that.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I always want to come off older. When people ask me how old I am, I always ask them, how old do you think I am? And if they say younger than 22, I'm always depressed for the rest of the night. But if they say older than 22, I'm just hard the rest of the night.
I'm guessing you're 22.
Yeah, I'm 22.
And so you started Third Rock when you were like 13?
13.
Wow.
13. From 13 to 19.
And were you leading you had a reoccurring role on Roseanne.
When I was 12.
For some time. But, yeah. I mean, was your life relatively normal up until that point?
No, not really. I mean, I've been acting professionally since I was 6. I started working full time when I was around 9.
Really?
Oof. Yeah, but I always went to normal schools as well.
Yeah, what schools did you go to?
Public schools around L.A.
Which ones?
Van Nuys. I went to Van Nuys High.
Ooh.
Oh,
yeah.
Mario Van Nuys!
Yeah, the Wolves.
Oh, you know,
yeah,
man.
They used to beat us in football every year.
You know where he went?
You went to, where did you go?
North Hollywood High.
That's where my mother went.
It was a Husky.
Yeah, word up. Yeah.
That's why she said, I'm going to get this kid out of here. When he's 3, I'm taking him over to Hollywood and get him a job.
Yeah. I don't know. Going from North Hollywood to Van Nuys is like going from Cambodia to Beirut.
Yeah.
It's different. Some say it's worse. It's hard to tell. Either way, you're in hell. But Joseph was smart. He got out of there.
No, yeah, man, I went to Van Nuys the whole time.
The whole time?
Well, now I live in New York City, but...
But the whole time you were doing Third Rock from the Sun, you were going to Van Nuys?
Van Nuys High, yeah.
Wow.
But that was like once a month.
No, man, it was like around... Well, sitcom hours are ridiculously easy, man.
Right.
You get hiatus weeks, like every 3 weeks. I was in school between like a quarter and a third of the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Me too.
You weren't off working.
I was home beating off.
Yeah, word. Well, I was beating off plenty, just in a dressing room during lunch hour.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear. Joseph has a new movie out, which is called Manic.
It's coming out next Friday at the New Art.
Next Friday, and that's May 9th. And it got reviewed by Roper and Ebert, and got a very favorable review, as I recall. I think it was last week or the week before. I'm trying to
think.
What's
it about?
It's about, it all takes place in the adolescent wing of a psychiatric hospital. Don Cheadle plays a doctor that always kind of reminded me of you, Dr. Drew, actually.
Wow. And very high praise, by the way, from the two thumbs up guys for Joseph.
Yeah, but Ebert didn't like it, which I enjoy, because if Ebert liked the movie, I would have considered it a small failure.
I mean, he didn't say it was. He was sort of thumbs in the middle, like he had a floating thumb.
Oh, I didn't see it. I heard he gave thumbs down.
Oh, he may have, but there's plenty of times he gives thumbs down when he sort of gives a reluctant and then singled out a few good performances, and I think yours was one of them.
Well, you know, it's good you pointed that out, because I wasn't going to do it myself.
Yeah, well, I had to do it. And plus, your publicist told me I had to do it before the show. All right, so Joseph is here. Manic is coming out next Friday, mm-hmm. and we're going to take some calls. Joseph has listened to this show for many years and
you guys
excited about being here.
I actually, can I tell a little story before we take a call?
Sure.
I got on this show one time.
No.
When I was 13 years old.
Oh, my God.
It was before your time, Adam. It was when Ricky Rackman was doing the show.
Yeah.
And you had a thing called the Shooting Gallery.
Oh, yeah. It was
like at the end of the show,
yeah,
real quick.
Sort of like the lightning round.
It made sense. Right, right.
So I called up, and I was 13 years old, and I called up and said, I'm an actor, and I'm always afraid that girls only like me because I'm on TV and stuff, and I want to know how I can tell if they just like me for me.
And Ricky immediately went, who are you? Who are you?
Yeah.
Why the hell do we know you?
Yeah, and I was like, I don't want to tell you. He's like, well, listen, bro, it's like this, dude. Like 10 years later or whatever, you're going to be like 25 or something. You're going to go up to the hot chicks and be like, yo, I was that cute little 13-year-old, so like, let's go back to my place. And I was like, but Ricky, that's not the kind of girl that I want. And Ricky was like, whatever, dude. And then you, Dr. Drew, you came in and kind of saved me. You're like, no, I think that, you know, that's a sensitive thing. And you just, you know, it's hard, but you'll find someone that likes you for
that's
you.
Nice. That's before nice. Adam ruined me.
Yeah.
I used to be able to come in and be
I ruined him by burying him in cash. He made nothing when I... Before I got here, Drew, how much more are you making now? But about 900%.
Oh, more than that.
Well, yeah. When MTV gets involved, your image comes,
nah.
And sound is nothing.
Yeah. Mm. No.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes and no.
I'm agreeing and disagreeing vehemently at the same time with Joseph.
I mean, all I want, K-Rock and Loveline especially, is just such a fixture in my childhood. I'm so excited to be on this show.
All right. All right.
My childhood sounded like this. K-R-O-Q! Pasadena, Los Angeles. The world famous K-Rock.
Sure, our affiliates are tickled pink about Joseph being here. Amy?
Yes.
You're 19. What's up?
I had a question about something my roommate and I have talked about. She is super turned on when her boyfriend plays with her breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I'm in foreplay with my boyfriend, it does absolutely nothing for me. And I'm like, great, can we move on now?
This is just one of the many things that women have that confuse guys from woman to woman being different. You know what I mean? Like, there are women that are really into this, and there are women who are just sort of rolling their eyes. And if you go from one woman who's really into it to the next woman who's really not into it.
This is why men are so confused.
But even with a woman, one night she'll like it and another night she won't.
That
one moment she'll like it. I mean, that's how lovemaking is.
I'll take it a step further. The left boob likes it. The right boob can't stand it.
And sometimes they just switch.
Some women can orgasm with breast stimulation.
Yeah, because my roommate was talking about that. She has, and I'm going, all right, when he does it, I'm just like, great. I'd really just rather have sex right now, and this does nothing for me at all.
This is, and listen, there's no equivalent in the male. One thing makes them have an orgasm. Some takes a little longer, some a little shorter. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the male.
Really?
Well, I mean,
I thought that gay guys can get off other ways, like some sort of male G-spot or something.
No,
new pish, Mina.
No.
Right. Anything.
No, I don't really.
Something happening to the honker.
Right. Usually,
I don't really know
anything.
There's
got to be a reach around involved.
Yeah.
Amy?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. So that's you and that's her.
Okay.
All right.
Have you told him, like, hey, like, I'm just not so into it?
Yeah, and he's just like, I know. Is it okay if every once in a while it just does something for me? And I'm like, sure, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably real fun for him.
Oh, yeah. And that's fine with me, but I'm just going, all right, should I get more out of this or.
Yeah.
Because I'm going, this doesn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. Is he using his mouth? You don't like that?
Oh, yeah.
He is?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you don't like it?
Well, I don't dislike it. I'm just like, I could live with this.
Oh, you and Adam could not hang out.
Yeah, I like a little nipple play as a man.
Well, how about going you with the other action? You're just...
Yeah, I like them, yeah. All right. Yeah, for me, boobs are like that air-filled packing plastic. You know, I can't stop popping it. I can't stop squeezing it. Yeah. I just have to keep going until they're all gone. I can't. I don't even think about it. I just have to keep managing.
Yeah, there is some like it's like your cat. You know, seeing cats kind of get going.
Yeah,
and stuff.
On the sofa leg. You know, just stretching the back.
Yeah.
Sharpening those claws. Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes, and a big fan of Loveline. Watched it on MTV.
Great.
And a big fan of 10 Things I Hate About You.
Woo-hoo! Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I love that movie.
That was a good movie.
It was all right. It's all right. It's not as good as Manic Noir, May 9th.
No. I will go see it.
Sweet. Right.
Go.
Go.
Okay. Well, my boyfriend and I have had sex like 10 times in the past year.
Mm-mm.
He won't touch me.
Why?
I don't know. It started when I was, like, visibly pregnant.
You're fat.
True. Please.
Was that your first baby?
Yes.
All right.
And is he on medication now?
Is he?
Yeah.
No.
Does he have any medical problems?
A drug problem.
Yeah, I was going to say a drug
problem. What drugs?
Opiates. Has to be.
No.
He's on Perfagorol. Crack myself up.
What is it, sir?
Cocaine, but... I don't know if it's because it's something...
Sarah really blew past that cocaine.
Yeah, it's more than cocaine, I suspect. I bet you it's more.
Well, if he's doing enough of it, it'll...
Yeah, cocaine usually doesn't... It can, but cocaine is usually in binges, and in between, people even will binge on sex when they're cocaine.
I wish he would.
Unless he's doing internet porn and that kind of stuff, well, instead of preoccupied with that.
What's up? Do you have a kid now?
Yes, and that's something else. He became less... affectionate and physical with me after the birth of our son.
Well, maybe that's when the cocaine kicked in, though.
No. He's actually gotten a lot better since
with the coke.
He's just psyched out.
No, he's doing. Hey, listen.
Wait a minute.
Sarah, you
hold on, Drew. Quiet down.
I just want to make one point. He's doing something else.
He's doing. She said she was doing. He was doing blow. Why do you need more stuff?
Because this doesn't. Listen, I deal with these guys all the time, and this doesn't quite fit.
Yeah, but I deal with you all the time. I'm always right.
No, not with this area. And he's cut down. He's reduced his cocaine and not having sex and more preoccupied and distant.
He said when she started showing,
he shut down.
He shut down.
Yeah.
That could be. An issue as well.
But
I know you've had the kid.
Yeah, for a non-addict, guys can freak out about being a dad and you being a mom. They get kind of, suddenly you're no longer a sexual object, you're somebody's mom, and they flip out about that.
Right.
But he has two kids.
Yeah, you're dealing with a drug addict.
What are you doing with this a-hole? He's got two kids, he's doing a blow, he's knocking you up.
I know.
Sarah, what are you doing?
I don't want my son to grow up without
Sarah, has he ever done Vicodin or opiates, anything like that?
I'm sure he has.
Okay, well, that's what he's doing now.
All right.
That's the thing. There's another factor in this.
I don't know.
He's in the next room, but I think he might be gay.
Well, he's not gay. Ask him what meds he's on.
That Perfagorol.
Put him on with me.
He's only on cocaine.
Why is he?
Hold on a second. When you have witnessed or you've actually done a survey on your
P test.
Yeah. I think they were not supposed to say that word.
P-test.
I'm not sure, but I modified it. Of course, the doctor here is always right. But the point is what the hell is she doing? He's got two kids. What are these guys doing with the kids? What is up? And how come as a society we don't just stomp these guys like we're recycling cans? You know what I mean? Like. He's got a couple kids from this other bitch he was banging, and now he's got one here, and he's taking his pee test. You know, he's on parole or
how is
something.
He with the kids? I mean, we didn't ask her if he's a good father. I mean, he could be not having sex with her.
Sarah, if he didn't bang one of them or try to eat the other one, he's a model. He's Fred McMurray, according to Sarah.
He didn't try to bang anything.
Oh, eat him. Oh, he's honestly a model. He's father of the year.
Honestly, he's in a 12-step program. He's a great father.
He's not in a 12-step program. He's doing drugs.
He's relaxing. I mean, I'm a recovering addict, so I understand what, you know. But I think it's something else. I don't think it's just the drugs. I definitely think it's something else.
All right, but listen. First off.
And I know. I'm a stupid, dumb girl for being with
him. No. Yes. Okay. You talked me into it. But listen. First off, are you in recovery?
I've been clean for 2 years as of April 1st.
Right.
Okay.
And I will not go back.
All right.
Well, this guy might drive
you back. Why is he taking the pee test?
It was for his work. I came across the lab results when I was cleaning out his pockets to do laundry.
All right.
It wasn't like I was like, go take a pee test. You know, I came across him.
Right. What does he do for work?
You don't make fun of
airplane,
him.
Something with a forklift.
He runs a car wash.
All right. Nothing wrong with that.
Is there a forklift there?
No.
Yes.
There is. Okay.
There you go.
I can smell a forklift like I can smell junior college. Okay, so he's working. Really, you got to take a pee test to work at a car wash?
It's one of those federal car washes.
Like, what's like worst case scenario working a car wash? Like, they ask for the air freshener that was clove, and you did the scent of hickory
cinnamon
in there. Like, really? Like, what could you do?
I don't know.
You don't armor all one tire or something? Okay.
Now, what makes you think he's gay?
I'm sorry?
Why do you think he's gay?
He's standing right here. I can't really talk about
Well, let me talk to him.
Do you want to talk to Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla?
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph, yes. A little something called Third Rock from the Sun. Thank you very much. And Manic coming out May 9th.
I like that, Adam.
Thank you.
Sarah?
I think she hung up.
Well, that's good times.
All right. That kid,
was it me?
That kid's going to be president. There's no doubt about it. These people. Hey, here's the thing. We always talk about, we don't like to call people stupid, but why, it's as if some people have a life, some people have the kind of life that's almost as if they're just walking and wherever they go, it's downhill a little bit. Their parents are rich, they're smart, they got a good education, they're these people that are good at whatever they do. It's like they're walking and it's just a little bit downhill wherever they go. And we all know these people. They have a good life. They're just a little smarter than people. They're healthier. They think better.
Oh, it's easier.
Things are easier. Everything comes a little easier for them.
They roll
but
good
then,
dice.
Then there's the people that walk in, and it's a little bit uphill everywhere they're going. It's a little little headwind blowing at them.
Yet, though, it's easier to see for the people that are climbing up the hill how they create the incline themselves.
Oh, yeah,
The choices they make, the attitudes they have, the way they relate to people.
This
it's really easy to say, oh, I'm walking uphill. It's not my fault. What can I do?
Yeah,
my old man will
take care of the kids.
I want everyone to try to figure out what kind of grade they're on.
Yeah.
Like, Drew, you had a little bit of a downhill grade.
No.
Shut up.
You're flat at best.
Downhill. You're almost a free fall.
No.
You're smart. Okay. Okay.
Not easy.
First off, you're white. Okay?
You got to give him that.
You got to give me
the
what?
The man turned on me during the 70s.
That's true. That's true. But now you're back. It's fashionable to be white again. Aren't you lucky you didn't change?
That's true.
All right, here's the thing, Drew. You're attractive. You're an attractive guy. You've got a good mind. You don't have any predisposition to any illnesses or any
right.
addictions.
Right.
Your folks had some money and saw fit to put you in a school where you would have opportunity,
right.
whatever. A little bit of doesn't feel like it. A little bit of a downgrade.
Yeah.
Other people got a little uphill.
Yeah.
Maybe whatever. They got high cholesterol and stupid parents.
I think this is useless rhetoric. And if you get caught up trying to figure out, well, am I uphill or am I downhill? That's just a waste of time.
No,
you better
not.
Like just
Here's
consider
why.
Yourself flat and say, what am I going to do about it?
If you're
this?
Going uphill, if you got a little uphill. You can't crank out the kids at 18. You can't get a taste for coke.
You mustn't.
You mustn't.
Yeah, you mustn't.
You mustn't do the things that are going to weigh down your uphill pack
You shouldn't
even
do
more.
That if you're going uphill or downhill.
But
good point.
If you're going downhill a little bit, you can absorb it because all it does is flatten it out a little bit. Now you're sort of on flat
land.
Yeah,
but say you're going downhill and you say, well, I'm going downhill. I can absorb a little crack. I can absorb a little kids.
Well,
and then soon you're absorbing like a little more crack
yes,
and a little
but
more
if Drew,
kids. And then
if,
you're
Drew, if Drew got strung out on drugs when he was in college, his folks would have
killed themselves.
Would have killed themselves. He would have collected the money and got himself into rehab.
I hadn't thought of it.
That would have made. He has an intact family that would have got him some help theoretically.
But
at
that
some
doesn't
point.
Mean that it's okay for Drew to go getting.
Well, here's the interesting
thing. No, it's just better than if he was going the other way, in which case he has to go sleep outside.
But the people that are going downhill, surprisingly, shockingly, don't put on the backpacks.
I know, and it keeps them going down even faster, which is good.
Miss Morgan.
Yeah?
You're
yeah.
21.
Yes, I am.
You going uphill or downhill?
I'm going uphill right now. Thank you.
What's the matter?
Well, I just started seeing this guy, and he's 31, and I'm 21, and I kind of want to be celibate. right now, and because I want to know if he truly likes me or not. So I just don't want to have sex with him, and I want to know if he says he'll wait, if it's true or not.
Wait. You kind of express yourself in a funny way. Okay. You're not a virgin.
No.
Have you had many boyfriends?
I've had one.
And how'd that go?
Oh, that wasn't very good.
Did you sleep with that guy right off the bat?
No, I didn't. I stayed with him for 2.5 years.
Wait, did you say it was or wasn't very good?
It wasn't.
Wait, again, did you sleep with him right off the bat?
No, she stayed with him.
No, I didn't. It took 3 months. Sorry.
Three months. How long do you plan to take for this guy?
I was thinking like 5 or 6.
5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
And you're how old?
I'm 21.
He's how old?
31.
And what is it you hope to accomplish?
I just want to make sure I fall in love first.
You want to develop a relationship first.
Right.
And what does he say when you... Have you told him this yet?
Yes, I told him.
And how do you take it?
And he said, it's okay, I'll wait, but...
What?
You think he's... 31.
Let's say, multiple choices here in what he's thinking. Yeah. A, he's thinking, I'll get through this. I'll figure out a way to get her... You know.
Well, no, his first thought is, does this include BJs?
Yes, yes. That is his first thought.
What is the answer to that thought, Morgan?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh?
Yeah. I don't know.
You haven't figured that out yet.
No, I haven't.
What do you think? Like, if you're given sex at the six-month point, do you think the BJ may come around about the three-month point?
No, I'm thinking, you know, I'll give him a couple BJs, you know, keep him around. A
couple weeks?
Keep him around.
Oh, no, maybe like a month or, no, to about 2 months.
A month or two.
Yeah.
If he behaves.
Well, now, how long have you been with him?
I just started seeing him.
This is troubling to me. Like, are you attracted to him? Do you want to have sex with him?
I do, but I don't like sex.
Ooh, why? What's the matter? What's going on?
I don't like it at all.
Why? What's the matter?
I get severe anxiety when I...
What happened? You get raped or something?
Yeah, repeatedly.
Who did this?
I'm a rapist.
True, please, let her finish.
I was between the ages of 14 and 15, 9 different guys.
All right, well, what happened before that?
9 different guys?
Physical abuse when you were a kid?
Well, yeah, my dad beat me and emotionally abused me, and my mom left when I was 3, you know.
All right, there you go. So, and no treatment for any of that?
No, I'm working on it. I write poetry and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the answer.
Don't put down the poetry.
This new guy? He's gay.
Ooh.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
All right, well, a couple things. Now, I'm not putting down poetry, but...
I'm really good at it.
You got raped and abused and all that, and you're doing the Once Was a Man from Nantucket stuff. That's not going to help your condition.
Right.
But listen, Morgan, you got any of your poetry nearby?
Yeah, I do.
Well, get that. We'll hear that after the break. But 9 different guys raped you?
Yeah.
Did that happen?
Well, I was in a very sticky spot, and it was 6 actually of my stepmother's boyfriends, and then it was 3 of my friends' older brothers.
All the same night, or like?
No, it was over years.
It was over 2 days. Mm-hmm.
Over the years.
Well, but wait a minute.
For months.
Your stepmother's boyfriends.
Yeah, I left my stepmother when I was 14.
6 of them did this.
Yeah.
So her mom was sexually abused too.
Yeah.
Right? Is that true?
Yeah. Well, yeah, she was.
Of course. let me say this too, and I'll put her on hold.
Okay,
Drew. Even, you know, okay, 3. I mean, and this is going to sound cruel, but there was a certain there's a certain stage in this when she was approaching the step guys, putting herself in the crosshairs of the rapist.
What happens to real serious victims? People that have been victimized their whole life. And who know no other way to relate to people other than through replaying that victim role, is they will approach these guys in a highly sexual way and then be shocked when they and come after them. And these guys may not even be aware they were raping her. They may have thought that they were being seduced.
Yeah. Mm. Well, they're world-class idiots.
They're world-class idiots. His mom was sexually abused, too, and so these guys were abusers and victimizers. Right. This is a horrible situation. Her whole thing about sex being separate from the relationship is a bad impulse. She, you know, she can't connect with the guy, can't connect with her sexuality because of the trauma, naturally enough. This guy is highly suspect. The fact that he's waiting around...
The fact that she's attracted to him makes him highly suspect?
And the fact that he's waiting so patiently... for somebody that hates sex and probably not going to be any in the relationship.
Well, it's only been a few days.
Yeah, it makes
sense. Okay, look, we can't speculate, Drew, even though that's all we do.
All right.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is here tonight. He is the star of a new movie called Manic, which very favorable reviews, at least one thumb up, and a sort of half, like, sort of hang loose, bro, kind of thing.
But we don't like Ebert's thumb anyway.
Yeah. Who knows where it's been. That is coming out May 9th. That is this Friday. I would like to hear some of Morgan's, what I'm sure is to be her very depressing poetry.
Oh, yeah,
I want to hear some.
Sweet and melancholy, that's the way life is.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll come back for it.
After this. Yeah, it's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is our guest tonight. Manic is the name of the movie he's promoting, which looked really good. I saw a review of it, or preview of it, or both, on TV. I think it was just on Sunday, and it's coming out May 9th.
Actually, I had heard about this film. I hear it's very accurate.
I'd really be honored if you watched it, man.
I want to see it. I want to see it.
Because we've actually spoken to a lot of people that are in your line of work, yeah. And we've screened it for a lot of them, and they all sing its praises.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard.
Yeah.
Also,
we did a lot of research and stuff. I spent a lot of time in support groups and halfway houses and all that.
And what else was she in?
She was just in a movie called All the Real Girls. Zooey Deschanel is her name. She was in Almost Famous. She was in The Real Girls. The Good Girl.
Right.
She's the It Girl.
And Joseph from Third Rock from the Sun for all those years. Now it shows pretty heavily syndicated.
Mm-hmm.
And ran 5-6 year seasons?
Yeah, yeah, a long time.
So now, are you pretty much set up for that or from that?
Financially?
Yeah.
My dad really, took the money that I had and was smart with it, and I'm blessed in that way. But the way that I see it is that that gives me the opportunity to do movies like Manic, which is no money. We made that movie for like a couple $100,000. We shot it on digital video cameras.
Right.
There's no money. I haven't made money in... I just went to school for the last 3 years. I haven't made money in...
Where were we in school?
At Columbia in New York.
So that's nice.
It's real nice. I mean, that's... Making that kind of money, I feel like, gives me the opportunity and almost the responsibility to do stuff not governed by money, because I think that's what this world needs.
Yeah, and so your dad was able to invest the money for you as you went along?
$0 in the stock market.
Really?
Yep.
Real estate?
Yep.
Drew, you a-hole. I always tell you that, don't I? What's he saying? You get some property around the valley and that?
Yeah, man. California kids, man. We don't trust those East Coast crafty,
Oh, imagine the stuff he was buying 6-7 years ago and what it's worth now. You know what I'm saying?
What are you saying?
Yeah, true.
Actually, it was like, would have been like 9 years ago,
no,
10 years ago.
No. No, I mean...
But that's when he started buying stuff.
Oh, he would have, yeah.
When
yeah.
It was really in the tank in the early 90s.
Yeah, I thought it was... It seemed to be... I thought it was at its lowest, like maybe 7 or 8 years
ago. No, 91. There was a huge recession of real estate in 91.
Oh,
so and that's when the radio got good, coincidentally enough.
You're fine, so you're set up good. And how does it work, by the way? Is your dad allowed to take your money and invest it?
I was a minor at the time. But yeah, I mean,
he's their trustee.
Yeah, I know he's a minor trustee.
No, but
the
parents, like, I manage my kids' stuff. They're trustee.
Yeah,
of
but
their...
your kids wipe a booger on a piece of craft paper and you stick it to the refrigerator. That's
well,
a
lot of parents take advantage of their kids. But my parents are brilliant. You know.
But I thought they had all those sort of Jackie Coogan laws where if a kid was making good money and he was a minor, that the money needed to go into some sort of trust.
There is. There's a blocked account. A quarter of it goes into a blocked account.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Drew answers. He was a minor. Morgan?
Yeah?
Who's the smart one?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
You're 21. You have your poetry?
Yes, I do.
I want to hear this.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
I wrote it for the war efforts, okay? It's called One Nation at a Time.
Uh-oh. Uh-huh.
The world turns and spins on an axis twisted and sick. Sticky hands that kill crave powerful men dictating through Allah. For the notion, selfishly picking and destroying a single country. Twice decades of decay, senseless acts of pillage, sacrifices of innocence, starving minds, unfortunate souls, lost in the folds, ignored and left out in the cold. No longer singly threatening worldwide destruction through airborne annihilation. Stop and take in some hits. Step in and take in some hits. Words cannot solve this. Lunatics must perish. Selflessly taking in responsibility to end the tyranny.
Hold on a second. Let me jump in for a second.
Thank you.
Before I kill myself. This is sort of pro-America, right?
Right. It's pro-America.
Oh, all right. All right.
Pro-America.
All right. Okay. Yeah, we need some patriotic music. Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. A tyrant of lies who kills others' children and wives.
Yeah.
Market for evil, slowly extinguishing, diminishing as preaching spreads. Listening while seeing. Slowly stopping the seemingly endless insanity. Millimeters inching their way towards the someday that resides on everyone's lips. No hope for tomorrow means no wishes for years. Fears won't rest unless courage prevails.
Oh, you missed an opportunity to rhyme beers.
I know, huh?
With beer. Yeah.
I know, cheers for beers.
I got to cut you off more because anytime you don't work beer in a clear beer opening there with tears.
And fears.
It's beers is next. As patriotic as it was, we got to move on.
Okay.
The fundamental stance.
I'm not going to say anything at all.
Cynthia?
Yes.
What did you study in Columbia?
I studied French poetry, actually. Maybe I should...
I was just... I'm not going to help it, but I was just picturing the 31-year-old guy who's not getting laid by Morgan but needs to hear the horribly depressing poetry every night. It's like... Should put a Luger in his mouth at a certain point. French poetry.
Yep.
Yeah, you really are set for life.
What period?
Recent stuff.
Oh.
More recent, newer stuff? Yeah, the older stuff's harder. I was just trying to pass. No, I'm kidding. I don't know, just the more recent stuff. I don't know, starting in the 1800s. And so, I don't know, that's not interesting at all.
Cynthia?
That's
what I'm moving for. Cynthia, you're 24.
Yes.
What's up?
Actually, I just called to apologize to Joseph because I went to high school with him at Van Nuys High. I was also a wolf. And I remember that me and my friend used to walk by and, like, you know how you were in Angels of the Outfield?
Yeah, I do know that.
And you used to, like, they flapped your arms. And And we used to do that to you.
Right, I was a real neurotic wreck in high school because of you.
Really? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I just really want to know, like, if it bothered you or whatever, and I wanted to say sorry.
He's saying yes.
Yeah, it bothered me a lot, but I'm over it now.
Okay.
I appreciate your apology.
But now he's in the position of power here.
No.
Well,
the thing is that tonight it was a coincidence because I was just talking to somebody about that show and about everything and how you used to go to school with me, and then I turn on Loveline and you were on there.
The thing about it is this: I used to run from that kind of attention because I hated the concept of celebrity. I still hate the concept of celebrity. I think it's unjust that some actor like Ben Affleck or something is just useless to society gets to have his opinion heard about all sorts of things.
I know, I like Joseph.
And like my history too. Do you remember Mr. Bechtel, Cynthia? Did you ever have Mr. Bechtel?
No, I didn't have Mr.
All right, well, that just goes to show how cool you are. Mr. Bechtel is like, did you ever have Mr. Abreu?
No.
You suck. Like, never mind. Press the button again, Adam.
It's your chance. Right. I told you. I knew he'd get it out.
Press the button again.
Well,
wait a minute.
You have to take history. There's only one teacher, two teachers.
No, these were the two badass teachers in history, and she didn't take either one. I have nothing to say to her.
Yeah.
But point being, nowadays I'm not so afraid, or I'm not running away from a celebrity status because I'm trying to embrace it and use it to get my opinion across through movies like Manic. And this is actually the first time in the 15 years that I've been an actor and somewhat of a celebrity that I'm excited to tell people that I'm an actor and that I'm in a movie and to ask them to go see it.
What do they take home from the movie?
I think that they take home an indictment of apathy. I think a lot of people my age, they see a world that's overwhelmingly negative. And want to throw up their hands and say, I can't do anything about it. or they see themselves, and they see themselves in a situation that's so overwhelmingly negative that they can't do anything about it. And this movie's kind of about, are you going to give up and just submit to your anger and rage and violence, which my character starts out as, and in the beginning of the movie almost kills somebody with a bat because he can't handle his anger.
Well, I don't want to be insensitive, but I used to watch Mannix growing up, and this doesn't sound anything like it.
Well, it's still a big wave at the beginning.
No, it's Y5O, you retard.
Oh, I beg your pardon. You're right.
True.
You're right.
You sure you don't smoke weed? He drove the green Mustang.
Yeah, right, how'd the beginning go?
Mike Connors. It sure as hell didn't have a wave and an outrigger
right.
in it.
High five,
it certainly
right.
didn't have a baseball bat.
All right, I'm sorry. I was trying to make a little Mannix joke in there.
It's good, man. I'm getting all serious. You need some comedy in the middle.
Drew's impossible.
He asked me, what are you going to take from the movie? Dr. Drew, this is my chance to justify myself to Dr. Drew.
Well, it's a movie. I'm guessing it was a movie that was made not to turn a quick buck, but because people were passionate.
Exactly.
About
is it not about mental illness?
I don't think. I mean, it takes place in a psychiatric hospital, but I don't think it's about mental illness. I think it's about people, and especially about young people today. The psychiatric hospital is where it's set, but I mean. The kids, the characters in the movie are dealing with the same struggles that any human being struggles with.
Deja?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yeah, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great.
I've been listening since I was 10 years old and loved you. Joseph, I loved 10 Things I Hate About You.
Thank you.
It was my first date movie.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It was very interesting. Anyway, my question is, when I'm planning on becoming sexually active, and I want to know how far in advance I should begin taking the pill before doing so.
1 month.
1 month?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
One cycle.
Is it 1 cycle or 1 month?
1 cycle.
Okay.
Your line is kind of bad, so we're going to go to break anyway, but 1 month for. One cycle or 1 month?
1 cycle.
All right. Deja? Yeah, good times there, baby doll.
You're probably okay right away, but it's most safe to wait a month.
Her name means already.
En français, oui.
Oh, yeah. See? That's what you do. Your dad makes a couple of good investments. I kick my dad right in the nuts. My dad's biggest investment was he bought a beta recorder. Idiot. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is our guest tonight. Mannix is the name of the movie. We're going to talk to Drew very sternly about the Mannix thing and the... wave at the beginning of
You're
it.
You're right.
Catch up on your television, Drew.
We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is our guest tonight. You know him from all those seasons on Third Rock from the Sun. And also 10 Things I Hate About You. Did a voice in Treasure Planet, Halloween H2O. 10 Things I Hate About You was sort of packaged itself as a sort of mainstream sort of teen comedy, but it was really pretty good.
It was all right.
It was fun.
I was kind of in the position where I had to do one of these teen movies that we had this big wave of, and that was the best one I could find.
I think you picked the right one.
Thanks, man.
And quite a departure from that movie is Mannix, which comes out the 9th, which is a week from this Friday.
And, at the New Art.
Is a substantial movie, from what I hear.
And you can check out the website. It's pretty interesting and pretty creative. It's at iammannix.com.
Nice.
iammannix.com.
Nice.
Jack?
Yep.
25?
Yep.
Got a question for Joseph?
Yeah, I did. I was wondering if Mannix was going to come out in places other than L.A. after the 9th, and if he was going to do more mainstream movies.
Well, it's already out in New York. It's going to come out in L.A. in the 9th. Coming out in, like, Seattle and, you know, some cities. But the more people go see it, the more money it makes, the more it'll come out.
Are you in Washington, D.C. or Washington State, Jack?
I'm in Washington State. I'm near Seattle.
Sorry. You are near Seattle? It's coming out in Seattle May 16th at the Varsity Theater.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's not far away.
Cool, man. Yeah.
Wow.
Let's check it out.
Excellent.
And what about mainstream movies, which we sort of touched on, which is independently wealthy and wanting to do more important work? But
I have no problem with doing mainstream movies if the people that are doing them care about what they're doing. But most often in this business, when you're involved in a big corporation, people are just kind of doing their job, and at the end of the day, if it's good enough, it's good enough.
Right.
And that doesn't interest me anymore. Manic was the opposite of that. We were all just ruthless perfectionists, and we all were just throwing our blood down on the floor because we all just couldn't make it good enough.
Huh. How was working with Don Cheadle?
Don Cheadle is, I mean, one of the best actors out today, in my opinion, and just such a pro and so solid. And any doubts that I would have about, you know, because the whole thing was about getting wrapped up in this world and acting in it.
Right.
And trying to get beyond acting and just acting and just being really in this world and being with him. He was running these group therapy sessions that we were doing in this movie. And he, could have been Dr. Drew. You know, he was so real that it just felt like I was in a group therapy session. Huh. And, you know, he just grounded the whole thing. He's incredible.
Ironically, I bet Don could pull off Dr. Drew a little better than Dr. Drew. Linda?
It'll certainly make it more interesting, you know.
Linda?
Right?
Yeah?
You're 17? Yes.
Thank you.
What's up? What's up, baby doll?
Well, I have a little bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this friend named Alex, and he's a virgin. He's 18, and I've known him for about a year.
Yeah.
He's been bugging me about taking his virginity ever since I've known him.
Yeah.
And a couple of weekends ago, we got really drunk together,
mm-hmm.
and he asked me if I could take his virginity, and I said sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started making out. We were making out for about 20 minutes, and he just cannot turn me on.
Who?
And apparently I couldn't turn him on either because it took him the whole 20 minutes. And then.
Well, whole 20 minutes to what?
To get hard.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And then he had the nerve to ask me if he could stick it in my butt.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No. She's using the guy's name
this
and stuff.
Yeah, this
liar! Liar, whore! Liar, whore! You know it!
No. Yeah.
But it was a mason jar when he got it.
Yeah.
Well, it's really weird, though.
No, it's not that weird. It's not that weird, because you're making this up.
I'm...
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the only thing that saved you so far is being a woman. They don't have the...
crank call gene.
Right.
If you weren't lying, you'd have been handling this differently once he accused you of lying.
Why'd you use the guy's name?
Why use his name? Because he,
too slow.
I think he's gay.
Okay, yeah. That explains why he used his name. There you go.
See.
Perfect.
Well, now it's
perfect.
All coming together.
Yeah, now we believe you even more, Linda. Good times.
Well, no. I mean, he really is begging me to take his virginity.
Yeah. So he tried to stick it in your butt.
No, he didn't try to. He didn't, like...
He asked nicely.
Me too.
I see.
I think we're done with Linda.
All right, Linda.
Good.
And your question is?
What's the question?
Is he gay?
No. That's not your question.
Yes, it is.
No. That's your bogus question, which is not really a question, which makes this bogus.
But he has nothing to do with being gay.
Yeah. I think it makes you straighter.
Extra male.
Especially
male.
Right out of the gate. You know.
Before having had vaginal intercourse.
Yeah.
No. Don't a lot of people try to have anal intercourse because they don't want to lose their virginity because
That is a strange sort of behavior that's been popular
I've heard
four
of
or
it.
5 years.
Tyler? Caller goes by the name Tyler. You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm just trying to figure out what's the best way to enlarge your penis. Like, is it as pumps the best way or what?
I think the best and most effective way is to kill yourself and see if you can come back as somebody with a big penis.
Ooh, maybe smoke less pot.
Yeah.
I
smoke a lot of pot.
Yeah.
You don't?
No, I don't.
You smoke some, though, don't you?
Just a little.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Not that much, though.
Just a little every morning.
I think if you want to enlarge your penis, you should smoke more pot, Dr. Drew.
No, it shrinks it. It actually will shrink it.
Really?
Yeah.
Nothing does anything.
Well, no, a pot increases circulating estrogen. It will diminish sperm.
Pot shrinks your penis about as much as the pump enlarges it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But it does increase circulating estrogen levels quite a bit, though, as a matter of fact.
Tyler. Did you guys ever pass around a pipe in this room when you were doing Loveline?
No, never. A bong.
Not a pipe.
Never a pipe.
Crack pipe.
Oh, I think he was talking about pot, though.
Oh, no, okay.
All right. Tyler?
Yeah.
Okay. You're good. How big is your penis?
Hard?
Yeah.
It's only about 5.5.
That's a normal size, Tyler.
That's average.
Yeah.
All right. Well, just leave it alone, okay?
All right. And it's about time someone comes out with another one of those size
surveys. Yeah, you're right.
The last one was a good 6-7 years ago, remember?
Yeah, we've got many more immigrants since then. And
yeah, it's time to be adjusted. True. I don't know what that means, but I'm taking great offense to it. Joseph has to catch a red eye out of Los Angeles tonight and must pack and get on an airplane. So he's just staying for the first hour, which is now officially
I'm getting sad. It's the first time we've had a guest that was enthusiastic like about this.
I'm going to come back here if you guys will let me.
All right, good.
Yeah. Normally the guests that come on this show are so what are you guys doing tomorrow night? It's like, we do the radio show. Go, oh, it's not just every Wednesday?
Yeah.
All right. I want to thank Joseph for coming in and tell everyone to go out and see Manic 1 week from this Friday. It was a pleasure having you on the show and meeting
you. Pleasure being here, man.
And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
Depressed that Joseph's gone.
Yeah. He's good people.
Somebody that actually had an appreciation for what we do. I've never encountered that before.
No, not even at home.
Oh, no, of course not.
Not even at home. All right, you ready to move forward here, Drew?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Nicole, who's 19. Nicole?
Yeah, hi.
What's up?
I just had a question about when you are sexually comfortable and you just enjoy sex, when it... Where is the line where it becomes enjoying sex and having it a lot and just being addicted to sex or
addiction,
having it for the wrong reasons in a weird way?
Addiction is really defined by consequences. If you're progressively engaging in a behavior that has mounting and increasingly severe consequences and you can't stop in spite of those consequences, that's addiction. Compulsion really implies that it's a behavior that you'd like to contain a little bit but can't.
What is how often you have in sex?
Well, I'm monogamous with one person, but about 2 months ago I was not, and I would have sex at least once a week.
With different people?
If need be.
If need be?
If I was seeing someone, then it wouldn't be a different person. But if I was seeing someone for a month, it'd be that person. But the minute
All right, this doesn't sound like anything. Sorry. Fine.
You sound a little bit troubled in terms of being able to stay alone and stay in a relationship, that kind of thing, but I don't think that's about sex.
Are you Catholic? Are you guilted out?
No, I really don't have any Orthodox religion in my life or anything.
All right. Well, stop thinking so much then.
Okay, well, another thing that I just thought of, what about masturbation? Is that such a bad thing? Because I started masturbating like when I was like in third grade. I didn't know what it was at the time, I just knew it felt bad.
It's fine unless you start doing it because somebody started you doing it.
Oh, okay.
Was there a lot of chaos in your home growing up? Yes.
Not so much, but I was messed with as a child.
All right. Well, that's where sexual abuse and that's where compulsions and excessive sexualization of all feelings comes from.
All right, but good times.
You're sort of wired up that way a little bit, so you should at least consider yourself at risk.
You crack a wine cooler and relax. You know what I mean? Get a little drink and mellow you out just a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to John, who's 20. John?
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
What's up?
20 when I was, but when I was 17, 18, I was having sex, fairly consistently, normally at least, once a day with the same person. I would go hours, all night sessions, and now I'm getting married here soon. And I don't have sex as consistently anymore, but I'm very short now, half hour at 45 minutes most.
Yeah, there's a couple things here. Can you understand why we might have a little question about why you're not having sex, why you're having so much then and why not so much now?
Work schedule.
And yet this
I work more days and she works more nights, and so we hardly get to see each other. We see each other.
That's great.
Yeah, it is.
Marriage is going to last forever.
Exactly.
I really mean it.
Honest, I'm going to start school soon, and she's going to start working days, and so it's going to work out.
So then, 30, 45 minutes is a long enough session, especially when you're married.
Yeah. But then,
believe you me.
It's taking you 30 minutes now?
30 to 45 as opposed to 2 hours.
And he's complaining about that?
Evidently.
I'm used to going, you know, for a long time, and so to switch, you know, fairly suddenly, it was just kind of weird.
Well, here's the deal. Most women,
after about 10 or 15 minutes, are not happy. Most of them. Not all, but most feel that's ouch, uncomfortable, unnecessary.
By the way, so this question is like saying, it used to take me 2 hours to mow the lawn, now I do it in 35 minutes. Boo-hoo.
Yeah, exactly. Then now, and also, by the way, he has a readily available explanation. He was having lots of sex before, now not having so much.
Yeah.
So things are happening a little faster.
And unless his 30-minute to 45-minute is really 8 minutes to 14 minutes.
Even then, that's fine. It's all right.
Oh, Drew.
14 minutes is okay.
Unless,
again, you get beyond 14, 15 of intercourse, most women are having a little trouble after that.
Yeah. Very true.
Most, not all.
Little window into Drew's sexual schedule. Steve?
How you doing, guys?
You're 17. What's up?
Well, I'm working at this camp here, and there's this pretty hot girl working there with me.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to take it into the bedroom, the relationship, you know? And I was wondering how I would go about doing this.
Non-question. Non-question.
That was a bogus call. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
No, I really want to know how to do this.
No, we really don't.
But her butthole's a big meat.
Yeah, you really got it.
Yeah.
We got.
We got sucked into that one, boy. I tell you what, boy. Hook, line, and sinker. You know, what's funny is two syllables into it, I didn't buy Steve at all.
We both looked at each other and went.
Right. But, well, actually, I'd farted. That was my life. But, so anyway, Steve's call read bogus to me from the first word.
Yep.
But he didn't say the girl's name.
He was going to, though. Oh, no, he's just
going
to go right
no,
for the mason
jar. No, he's going for the mason jar.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't say the girl's name.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, the whole working at a camp like someone I work with. It was sort of specific enough that I was listening, but yet the tone, his tone was completely bogus.
I want to know how to do it. I want to know how to do it, man. How do you do that? It's like
his words were not bogus at all.
No, right.
But his tone was horribly bogus.
Yes.
And I think we're both starting to pick up on those tones. Mark?
Oh, hey.
16?
Will masturbation cause depression?
No.
I've heard a lot that it will.
Where have you heard a lot? Where have you heard that from?
On the internet, searching it up.
Where did you see that exactly?
No.
I don't have the exact.
Is that another bogus call?
It's possible.
This isn't a bogus call.
Have
you ever heard that rumor before?
Are you depressed?
No, but I don't want to be.
No.
Do you masturbate?
Yeah.
Well, can't you do the ball sack math? If masturbating makes you depressed, yet you masturbate and you're not depressed, then how can it be true?
The only couple ways I can imagine it causing depression, and that would be if you are overwhelmed, you know, riddled with guilt because of it, and eventually the stress of the guilt starts to make you depressed.
And once in a while, your stepmom catches you.
You are sexually compulsive or addicted, and you start doing things that have consequences with the masturbation, like in public or, you know, with porn, you know, paying for porn and stuff, then I could see where you get a little depressed. But just run-of-the-mill, normal masturbation might even be a little protective against depression.
I got to do something about the evidence trail of beating off, you know?
Well, that's your... you have a service that could do that, right?
Well, they'll step in.
If you die.
But I'm just talking about for the daily.
There really should be a service. One to clear the decks for the parents, one for the girlfriend, one for the wife.
Well, there is a service, Drew.
Oh.
Well, Drew, weren't you just talking about that service?
Well, you said you have a service just if you die.
You mean a daily...
Yes.
Well, that's impractical, Drew, having someone cleaning crew come to your house every day. I'm just trying to think. Like, you know, if you're a guy who likes to mop up using a T-shirt, the T-shirt gets a little skanky, and then somebody finds it down in the hamper, and it's...
Did something happen recently, Adam?
It's a lot of DNA over there.
What happened?
Nothing. I'm just saying, you gotta... It's kind of tough. you know, kind of looks like a snail made its way across the... you ever go out...
Really, you can only use the blow the nose excuse so many times.
Yeah, I know. You ever go out in, you know, like after it's rained and at night, where there's like, or maybe a little dew, and you see that snail track going, it sort of glistens a little bit.
Yeah.
It's got a little of that. Anderson, what to do about that.
Anderson is really a lightweight. He's actually puking this time.
Yeah, he doesn't like any of the fluid jokes.
No.
Mike?
Yo.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
I wanted to ask him for a little career advice. I know it's probably the first time.
First time he's given career advice, you're right.
What do you mean?
You know, it seems like everything is service mark, trademark, registered, copyright, up the yin-yang these days. And, like, I just like to do impressions of, like, hilarious things I've seen from TV, like Simpsons and South Park. And I don't know if, like, if I were to, like, try and get a little improv career going, if, like, the minute I step up, you know, a few weeks into that foray.
You mean, you can't do imitations?
Of course you can.
Let's hear a couple.
Okay, well, my name is Eric Cartman, and everyone calls me fat, but I'm just big boned. And
yeah,
try Simpsons. We might be more familiar with that.
Yeah, no, more like Eric Roberts. Go ahead.
Let's see, Smithers. Mr. Burns. Mr. Burns, where are you? I can't live without you, Mr. Burns.
Oh, that's Smithers.
Smithers, yeah.
All right.
How about old Ned Flanders? That's pretty easy.
No. Do you do a Ned Flanders?
I haven't tried before.
All right, I'll tell you what.
You could do that one.
Give us a couple. Don't give us any hints. And don't give us any Mr. Burns or anything that's going to give it away.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can guess a
Just
couple.
Just random Simpsons character?
Yeah.
No.
Anything you want. Anything
Russo,
you want.
Huh? We've used up four of them already. Random. There's three left. No, give us any impression you do. We'll see if we can get it.
So the impressions are legal, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Don't tell us.
All right.
He's lighting up the landscape here.
Freezing up.
That's all right. All right. Give it a little thought. Take your time. Drew and I will talk amongst ourselves.
We're going to dinner on Saturday.
Boy, does this guy suck. All right. You ready?
All right. I can't do this. I'm totally shocked.
All right. Now, hold on, Mike. I'm going to let you get your composure, all right?
You just want me to keep it from The Simpsons or just any impressions?
Any impressions. But if we're going to put you on hold first.
Sure.
All right, we'll let you...
Take a few deep breaths.
You got a scratch pad?
Yep.
All right.
And I'm going to brainstorm. I was just, like, totally surprised.
That's all right, buddy boy. We're sorry we disturbed you at home. You need to write down three of your best ones.
Okay.
Don't tell us what they are. And no deplane or any of that nonsense that gives it away. You understand?
Yeah. Gotcha.
We're going to check back with you in a couple of minutes, all right?
All right.
All right.
Unacceptable.
From The Simpsons. Sean?
Yeah.
You're 23?
I am.
What's up?
I'm dating this girl for a little while, and she's not much into the sex.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been dating her?
I'm sorry?
How long have you been dating her?
It's been about 2 months now.
And how long, often do you have sex with her?
It's maybe once a week, if that.
Yeah, maybe she's, maybe you're going a little fast for her. Hmm?
That could be, but...
You're only 2 months into this relationship. How old is she again?
She's 18.
No.
18. You're 23. Yeah. It could be a little bit...
She might not be totally into him either.
Yeah.
You think she's into you?
Oh, I know for sure she's into
you. Oh, of course. Yes, Adam.
How do you know?
How dare you?
She's already talking about marriage and...
But she may...
All right. You're calling from Salt Lake. Is she Mormon?
She is, unfortunately.
All maybe. Right. So she may have some issues about
that. Got some issues about... banging away, about fornicating with 23-year-olds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
All right. We'll just take it slow.
John, you need to be more empathic with how she's experiencing things. It's not, geez, what's up with her? How come she doesn't have sex as much as I do? Find out what she's experiencing. Try to sympathize and empathize with her. Try to understand things from her point of view.
See, and I know she's had some really bad relationships in the past. And
Just try to smooth that out for her. Yeah. Don't try to fix her. Just try to see things from her point of view.
All right.
Wow.
I want to get back to Mike now.
All right, let's go.
I got a question for Mike. Mike.
Yeah.
All right. Did you write down any impressions that you do?
Those two are like the only two I've ever tried. I've just kind of been frozen on the whole copyright question. put the cart before the horse too much time. So I've got nothing. I don't want to waste your guys' time.
Oh, come on, buddy.
I don't believe it.
You do,
I don't believe that.
You do Smithers, and you do, Cartman.
You don't want me to give it away, though, who I'm doing.
I know. We're supposed to guess.
Yeah.
You only do those two impressions?
No, he
I'm really kind of a perfectionist, so I'd like want to try it into a tape recorder and see if I even sound like the guy or not.
Hold on, Mike. I've heard your Cartman. You're not a perfectionist. Now,
that's true. I'm kind of latching onto a 6-year-old memory.
Just so you have no other impressions. How about me? Can you do me? Okay, Mike.
You screwball.
Listen. Wait, keep going. Go
Cardo.
Nice.
Do you do construction? Yeah, I bet your boyfriend's into construction. Let me guess. He does the drywalling. Yeah, I got a feel for that. Oh.
It's uncanny, Drew. It's like listening to myself on my answering machine.
Is that you or Mike?
Just now? I don't know. Wait a minute. Was my mouth moving?
Hi, this is Adam. Please leave a message.
Yeah. All right, Mike. So here's the deal.
Mm-hmm. Practice.
No, but I would say with Mike's uncanny ability to do dead-on impersonations...
I might try something a little different.
It would be a crime for him not to be able to do that on stage. No. So don't get caught up in the legality part of it. You're allowed to go up on stage and do whoever you want.
All right?
Let's go ahead and do it.
Is there any place you can go to train for comedy? improvisational theaters or anything?
Mike?
Yeah. You were being sincere, not sarcastic?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's about to be sincere, anyway.
Here's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You want to do stand-up, right?
About, yeah.
So you just got to start doing it.
All right.
Yeah, you'll be bad for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
And then
you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Is that how long you were with the Groundlings thing before your stuff started taking off?
Oh man, I kicked around for a good 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just go start doing open mics.
But he all can't right. do characters. He'll be sued.
Do characters. Yeah,
well, you really can't.
Yeah.
You can do like personalities that exist, but you can't do characters that have been invented.
Yeah, you can do characters. Go right ahead.
I can't do characters.
Go ahead, Mike.
You just want
Anderson to says no.
And work on one of Anderson. That'll be very ironic. People will be saying, "Who? Sounds like a dick." All right, let's talk to Natalie, who's 14. Always, by the way, Drew. There's no street here in Loveline that does not lead into a dead end. Yeah, we've been having a little bit of a bummer night, talking to too many chicks who've been raped too many times and molested by their stepdads and mom's boyfriends. So Drew went in there and said, let's lighten it up. Let's take some lighter calls. So we get the guy, Mike, who under his thing, it says budding comedian, impressionist, does voices. As it turns out, Drew, you got a couple, what kind of dogs do you have?
Australian Shepherds.
More range than Mike. They can do a regular shepherd and an Australian shepherd.
Oh, my God. I found our dogs. Our dogs today dug under a fence at the top of that hill we live in. Went yep. into our neighbor's yard and attacked our neighbors.
Your neighbors?
Neighbor lady. This
attacked the lady?
Yeah.
No, she told you that.
No, I heard this incredible barking. I thought, is that our dog? I ran out, started calling him. I came under the fence and heard a little bit from the neighbor.
Why are they going after your neighbor?
They're pretty good watchdogs. They kind of go after whatever's at the perimeter.
Yeah, but this is on the other side of the perimeter.
They dug under the fence. I don't know what they were thinking.
What was she? Was she freaking out?
Yeah.
Why didn't she run into the house?
I think she came after him with a little something.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh, I did that once. I lived next to this crazy dog that was named Moon, and it was like a half dingo.
My God.
It was literally...
Is that where the dingo man came from?
No.
Dingo boy? No.
But it was literally a half dingo.
Yeah.
And it was one of these dogs that had fur that was sort of blue and greasy.
Yeah.
And it was a wild dog. And these people lived... they lived not our neighbors, but one house over. And they were crazy, screwed-up family.
Mm.
And they had I know everyone exaggerates, and it's good radio and everything. There's no exaggeration here. This dog, Moon, was a crazed... wild dog that was part dingo that they would just leave on the front. It would just sit out on the front yard, and everyone who went by got chased, and everybody got attacked, and it was just, they were just a screwed up family, just did it. And this dog had tormented me my entire teenage life, and eventually we squared off, me and the dog in the street, because I always had this thing where I don't know where I got this theory, but I thought that if a dog really confronted you and you sort of, you run, the dog's biting you in the ass and taking you down. But if you square off, you square off. I was probably 16. I got my linebacker stance, squared off with the dog. Dog took a step forward. I took a step at the dog. I was making noise and flapping my arms and screaming and stomping my foot at it. And the problem with Moon was is each couple seconds he was inching closer and closer to me, and eventually he lunged at me, and he grabbed my pant leg as I was sort of stepping back as he lunged at me and pulled my foot out and landed on my ass.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, well, this is it.
Oh, my God.
This is how they'll find me.
This is a story I've never heard.
I'm going to be eaten by my neighbor's dog, Moon.
And so what happened?
Never.
How'd you get him off you?
He didn't. He grabbed the leg, knocked me down. I guess my legs were probably flopping around, and that seemed like enough for him.
Wow.
But then there was a good scene. It was like an Old Yeller type scene, but in reverse. I came storming up the driveway, tears in my eyes. It's like traumatized,
yeah,
you know?
Of course.
My dad, I don't know what he was doing because he never left the house. He was like one of these guys where the sunlight hurt him.
Oh, my God.
He didn't actually have that disease, but he had that mentality. Yeah.
Vampire.
He's standing out in the front lawn for God knows what reason. I come up the driveway, and he's give me that sprinkler key. I grabbed the sprinkler key. It was the closest weapon I had. And I started out to doing Moon.
Yeah.
And my dad had to, like, talk me down. Like, son, don't kill the dog. I'm like, I gotta kill Moon. It's a killing Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't you?
Well, Moon probably would have killed me if I went after him with the sprinkler key, or my dad would have got sued or something like that. So, anyway, I think someone ended up suing the family. But
really, for that dog?
Yeah. That was me and Moon.
Well, I spent my morning using chicken wire to attaching it to this damn hole in the fence.
Good times. I thought you told me how smart your dogs were.
They were. I don't know what the...
Drew, smart. Drew, two nights ago, we were sitting here, and during a commercial, you said, you got to get this Australian Shepherd. These dogs are the most obedient dogs in the world. You give them the down, they stay, they heel, they sit.
Yep.
Then what, 30 hours later, they tunneled under a fence and attacked your elderly neighbor?
Bizarre. Yeah, I find that. I find it... In fact, I'm so sort of twisted, but I don't know how to correct it. How do you...
You let me put them down with a sprinkler key.
All right, come on over. All right.
I'll come over.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll gather the kids around. I'll explain to them that the dogs have done bad. Ask them if they saw that movie, Damien, and then or Omen, and then explain that I have to put them down using a sprinkler key. All right?
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a little break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew.
Yep.
You know what I let a fart about 4 seconds ago?
Just as Ann was walking out the door.
Good timing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this.
How is it?
I have not produced any stink in 3 months. Nothing.
I'm really proud of you.
No, I'm upset and worried. Yeah. And angry. Angry at my ass. Oh, yes, ass. I'll speak in front of my ass, too.
Really?
It has let me down.
And with your ass behind your back?
Explain how this works, Drew.
Yeah.
No idea what you're talking about. Behind my back?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Leave the comedy to the press. The guys like me and Mike.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I have not gotten any kind of good stink gas going in months.
All right.
And believe me, I know, because when
I know.
You know.
Yes.
And I know because I blast off in the car.
Yeah.
I drive a two-seater. There's probably 6 cubic feet inside the entire car for which my ass needs to stink up, and I can't seem to pull it off.
Mm.
I fan it toward my face. I do everything. My diet has been fairly bad. Been eating whatever's been put in front of me. It certainly hasn't been different than anything I ever eat before. Nothing different in the schedule. Everything's the same. Where's the stink? What happened to the stink?
Well, your bacteria are either happy or unhappy.
Well, where do I get the happy or unhappy bacteria?
Where do you get the methane?
I want to shake it up.
You have to find the right food stuff to feed
it. Say that every time, but I tell you I eat everything. I get nothing.
Well, as I recall, you're good at swallowing air, too. That helps you. So swallow some air down, a whole bunch of air, and then get yourself something that your bacteria is going to produce into a methane gas.
I don't have that.
Legumes. You have the raisin and bran kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, if I do enough dried fruit. And
there you go. Dried fruit is an excellent way to get diarrhea.
I've been trying. I think I need...
Get
you know
one
what
of those. You know, Trader Joe's has those huge trays of dried fruit.
Yeah.
Eat one of those.
You'll okay, but I can't do that every day.
Oh, you want to be a daily producer.
I'd like to produce some gas. I work
every
in a
day?
Place where guys use
it's,
this
there's
as,
a premium on that, isn't there?
Well, it's a way we measure...
Worth,
yeah. Talent, and attractiveness, quite honestly.
Prowess too, yeah.
And you have to defend yourself when, the, you know, right. Cousin Gal, Cousin Sal's got the gas now, or Jimmy's farting up his dressing room.
You, Adam, at a certain point, you have to be realistic about your physical endowments. Mm. I mean, it's like literally like my son's wanting to play for the Dodgers. You're not going to measure up to Cousin Sal. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry.
All right. Thanks, man. All right. I guess. Jennifer... Jennifer.
Hello.
You're 18.
Yeah.
When's the last time you let a really stinky beef go?
Oh my God. I don't know, like 3 hours ago.
You, really? A good one?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
It really smelled?
Uh-huh. Really bad.
Wow. I'm so jealous. Stop bragging. How dare you call this show and rub your ass in my face.
I'm sorry to hear about your gas problem.
No. It was a problem a few weeks ago. Now it's a catastrophe. Nothing. That's like I'm just blowing warm air out of my ass. There's nothing.
Trauma.
It's nothing. But blew gas 5 minutes ago here in Jersey. Zero.
It's tough.
Zero. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. All right, I was with my boyfriend for like over a year, and we lived together for like 6 months, and we just broke up like 2 months ago. And he moved out, but now we're trying to, you know, get back together and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But since we broke up, like, I've been pretty depressed. So I'm going to move back home and, you know, get my stuff together and, you know, be happy again. But my parents said when I move back home, I'm not allowed to see him anymore. And they said if I...
What, do they not like him?
Yeah, they don't like him. They don't think he's good enough for me.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, so they're exerting their influence where they can here, which is sort of appropriate parenting.
Well, but at 18, even if you're living at home, you shouldn't be able to say you can't see
you're
somebody.
Living, when you're living under my roof, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's the way they can exert their parental influence.
Yeah,
that's
but
all they can,
you know, 18...
Otherwise, they have no leverage.
But how healthy is that for me, like, just to stop seeing him all of a sudden?
Well, you already did stop seeing him,
well,
didn't
I mean,
you?
We still see each other, and he comes over and...
What's up with him? Why aren't they happy with him?
Well, I think it's the way we broke up. Like, we got in a fight, and, like, he decided... I think he was feeling, like, pressured. I don't know about what. So he left. We broke up. He moved out. I threw stuff at him. And now, you know, we're trying to get back together.
What do your parents know about that? Why would that suddenly be a deal breaker for them?
I don't really know. They don't...
Look, whatever it is, you're in massive denial about it, Jennifer.
Why'd you tell your parents? You told them all the gory details of you breaking up?
No, I didn't tell them everything. No, it's not... I try to talk to them. I try to tell them that...
Well, then how could it be that the reason they don't want you seeing him is how you broke up if they don't know how you broke up?
No, they know. I mean, they know how we broke up. It's just I didn't tell them every detail.
All right, look.
We got to fight.
Look, the only reason you're trying to tell us the only reason they don't like this guy is because you had a rough breakup and you threw stuff at him.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And you didn't give him the gory details.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
That's nothing.
What's the real reason? Exactly. What is it?
I don't know the real reason.
What's this guy do? We'll figure it out.
Well, when I lived at home, he used to sneak into my bedroom.
What does he do for a living?
Did they find out that he was having sex with you under their roof?
Yeah.
All right. That's one thing. Strike one.
But then he apologized and they forgave him.
All right. That's strike one. What does he do for a living?
Sorry for wiping my dork on your curtains. And
way out the window.
What's he do?
He works at a factory.
What kind of factory?
What kind of factory?
Like a dressing factory. They make, like, dressing and
turkey dressing
and stuff like that.
Salad dressing?
Yeah.
All right.
Is he a manager or he just works on the line?
He just works there. He works, like, over 40 hours a week.
And what do you do?
They're moving him up to the zesty Italian line, though, in a couple of weeks, Drew. Keep our fingers crossed. I don't want to jinx it. And yeah, now what? Now are your parents are together?
Yeah.
And they do okay for themselves?
Well, they were pretty rocky before. I mean, my dad used to treat my mom like crap, and then.
But does your dad make a good living?
Yeah, he works. He's like a manager of a construction company.
Is it, you guys live in a nice house?
Yeah.
Do you go to school?
No, not right now.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I sort of half agree with Drew that when you go home, you sort of relinquish a few rights. If you want to maintain those rights, you stay out of the house.
And generally, the parents, a non-abusive parent has your best interest in heart and can sense things that you can't see.
But
they're trying to capture your attention here.
But see, I don't understand. If I mean, they're not seeing how it is for me to
okay,
be with him.
Listen, do they really need to know if you're going out with the guy?
Oh, they said if they find out if I'm sneaking around seeing him that they're going to kick me out again.
All right, but let's just go see him then if you want to see him. My parents never found out anything about it. I don't think they knew my last name. You understand?
On the other hand, you might want to give some careful thought to why they have a problem with this guy. I'm sure there's much more than you're telling us.
And also, when you break up with somebody when you're 18, you just break up again.
Oh, yeah. It's just you're just delaying the inevitable.
Yes. It just whatever broke you up the first time breaks you up the second, third, and fourth time until eventually one of you smartens up and gets out for good. Natalie?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, lately I've been hanging out with this guy. He's 16, and like today and like especially yesterday, we were hanging out in his driveway with him and his friend, and like in the garage and stuff, and he jokes about sex and stuff a lot, and he pulled out his penis, and he showed me, and I didn't really want to see it and stuff, and then he kind of asked me, you know, to give him.
Yeah.
Where was the finishing school? Where did she say?
Well, she can't say it. That's good.
The finishing school?
Shut up. Hey, Natalie.
Yeah. Where did he go to finishing school now?
Oh, him. Oh, sorry, buddy. Thought you were talking about her. But it was a little confusing. Natalie?
Yeah?
This isn't your boyfriend, though, right?
No. He just got out of a serious relationship, like, last week or the week before.
Uh-huh.
And, like...
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Why are you calling about him?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just... Okay, I used to like this guy.
Well, tell your parents what he did.
No.
Yes. He pulled out his dork at hanging out with a bunch of friends.
Yeah, she liked him.
Look, well, this is just bizarre. He's 16, she's 14.
Where were his friends when he did this?
Well, they're, like, only one friend. He was there in the garage and stuff. They said they jack off together and stuff.
See what I'm saying? Tell your parents, Natalie.
Nothing wrong with that.
Please tell your parents.
What? Tell your parents that these teenage boys beat off together?
No, that
what
they,
are they
going to
do?
Were,
call
they
the cops?
Were, they're this is abusive stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's not
she's 14.
Like, you know, he's not like, you know, being all, you know, do it or anything.
He pulled his dork out in front of you. He exposed himself to you. That's not okay.
That's not okay. Natalie?
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to tell your parents, but you do have to not hang out with the guy. He's not a good guy. He doesn't respect you. If he looked at you as a potential girlfriend, he wouldn't be making an ass of himself this way. You understand?
Yeah.
So, he's disrespecting you. That's fine. You're 14. You're young. You're at a fork in the road here. You understand? You go down one side, you're going to get pushed around and disrespected by guys. You go down the dignity side, you become a bitter lesbian. The choice is yours. No, don't hang out with this guy, Drew.
Yeah.
We know, see, here's what women think.
Mm.
Women think that guys sort of act like they act all the time in front of whoever, whenever.
Right.
Untrue. If a guy is interested in a girl.
Yeah.
Put it this way. This same 16-year-old guy with the hot chick who's a grade above him.
Would act differently.
Yes.
Yes.
You show me the hot chick from the tennis team who's a senior.
Yeah.
Who he got the hots for. He's not pulling his wanker out and telling him, asking for a BJ in the garage.
No, not till later.
Not till later. He will act differently.
Yeah.
But you find someone younger who you just want to kick around, have some kicks with, have some fun with, and use up and discard. that's the one you do it with. And it's something we never really talked about on this show, which is guys will size up a woman. If there's if a guy's at a bar, even an adult, and this is sad, if there's a guy, if you take your average guy, 20-something-year-old guy, put him at the bar, have the chick with the big ass and the bad skin down on the end of the bar who's a good solid five on a good night, and all he wants to do is sleep with her, he will send a beer down there and just say, look, I got a van. Can we go out in the parking lot and whatever? If the belle of the ball comes in and it's a hot chick, he goes over there and respectfully tries to talk about things he's interested in, talks up himself, and tries to get a phone number. Am I right?
Yeah, yes. That's a certain guy that you're describing.
That's right.
Not all guys are like
Dr. Drew.
No.
That's who I'm talking about. No. We will take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. And it's Drew. Yeah! Good time. Dropping track. I'll do the radio, the morning radio DJ version of my neighbor's dog, Moon, attacked me. He's doing about 18 seconds here, right? Zap, zap, blah, 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 dingo, blah, 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 drop and trowel, blah, 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 moon, blah, 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 attack, blah, 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 tears in the eyes, blah, 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 sprinkler key, blah, 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 ineffective, blah, 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 impotent dad, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Now, Drew, you would have to laugh once in a while if we were really doing some morning radio.
You're right. And ring a bell.
Just laugh.
All right.
Just once.
Right.
Let's try it.
I'm not doing morning radio, though.
You listen for my punchline in cadence. You won't actually hear one.
Right.
You ready?
Yeah.
Sam, some say, ah, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, Drew. Blah, 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 blah.
Don't, man, don't.
Blah, 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 blah. Hey, blah, blah, blah.
No.
Blah, 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 blah.
He will.
Yeah, those good times. 758. Hey, well, then, well, why is it? In a ball. See how it works? You don't need to listen to the words. You listen for the cadence.
Right, that's right. And we all laugh together then.
That's right.
That's how it works, right?
I crack myself up. You understand? And you feel when a joke is coming, and you laugh. That's good radio. Yusuf.
Hello.
You're 25?
Yes, I'm 25. I have a question for Dr. Drew, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. Last year, my two sons were by my aunt's house, and my cousin was watching them. They're both 19 twins, and one cousin was going out.
Well, the cousins are both 19?
Yeah, they're twins, 19.
And how old are your kids?
2 and 1 year at the time.
Right.
Now my oldest is 3 and may come in, the other one will be 2.
All right.
And one of the cousins were going out, and told the other cousin to watch the boys while, you know, he went out. And apparently she didn't hear him say that, so...
Hold on. The cousins are both females?
No. Male and female.
Fraternal twins.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, so he told her that he's gone off for a second, watch the kids. Apparently she didn't hear, so he left. And I get a call that, you know, I got to come over there quick because the youngest one fell in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, make a long story short,
I've lost my sound.
Oh, okay. I can hear.
Yeah. There we go. Okay.
The oldest one apparently went in the back, opened the sliding glass door.
Yeah.
Youngest one always followed the oldest one, naturally. And the youngest one fell in the pool. And the only reason someone found the boy in the pool because the oldest one ran out in the street and a neighbor saw him crying.
Oh, my God.
So he basically witnessed the whole thing.
Ugh.
And, you know, cops came, everything, and we were there. And they really don't know how long he was in the pool for.
The youngest one?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's now, I guess you could say brain dead. The part that's his personality is no longer there.
They haven't addressed.
Just the, you know, his the one that controls his lungs, breathing, whatever.
All right, okay, got it.
Is he in the hospital?
Yeah.
He is. Yeah. And this was a year ago.
Yeah, this is in August, almost a year ago.
All right.
So
my question was, you know, the youngest one, he's been, like, asking for his brother.
Oh, my God.
You know, he's been having dreams about water.
You have got to, don't the people at the hospital offer you a therapist for this child?
Well, that's the thing.
Wait a minute, I thought that was the youngest one that went in the pool.
Yes, it was the youngest one.
The oldest one is asking for his brother and the having dreams about water.
Yeah, the oldest one, he's been running around the house asking for Javen, asking when Javen's coming home, stuff like that, you know. I was just wondering, you know, how can I give, he's three now, he turned three in December.
Well, obviously, not only has he had to deal with the trauma of having witnessed all this, but his parents, the turmoil you guys went through, and I mean, this child needs help. And I would think the service that your youngest child is being treated under would be able to provide you with something.
What is the plan for the youngest child?
There's no plan. He's at a place, it's called a subacute care.
Yeah.
And basically they said he's going to be like that for the rest
subacute?
Of his life. Yeah.
It means like a subacute hospital.
It's a nursing home
that can handle ventilators and respiratory problems.
Exactly.
So he's on a machine.
Yeah.
And, so let me ask a couple questions, as hard as they may be, just because I'm a layman in this field. If this happened to a person that was 60, they wouldn't keep him for a year, would they? I mean, they would pull the plug?
As a matter of fact, when it just happened, like a week after, the doctor was like, you know, he's not going to make it because, you know, they put stuff in the back of his throat. And then if he doesn't gag after like 3 or 4 days.
Right, it's no brain.
Yeah. So, you know, and they took him off the machine and he would not go.
He
kept on breathing.
So he kept breathing. For how long?
For about 3-4 weeks.
Mm. 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah.
And so then they put him back on the machine?
No, we had him home for a while. Actually, it's probably longer. It's about 2 months.
Mm-hmm. You had him home for a couple of months.
Yeah, we had him home under a care where the nurse would come out and make sure we're doing everything okay.
And he's able to do nothing?
Nothing, just breathe on his own at the time.
Right, he just stays in his crib kind of thing? I mean,
He doesn't turn or anything.
Okay. And is there a difference between when he's asleep and when he's awake?
When he's asleep, his eyes are closed like he is asleep. But when he's awake, his eyes are open. But other than that, that's it.
And so nothing would register if you waved your hand in front of him or something like that. Okay, so now he's back at the hospital.
He's back at the hospital.
Why?
He had pneumonia.
Okay.
So that's why the doctor put him on a machine, actually.
And where are you at with all this? I mean, are you realistic about what the prognosis is? I mean, do you think he'll live? Do you think he'll have some recovery? Are you hoping and praying? Or
I am. I've talked to a couple of people that this happened to. There was this lady, her son actually drowned too, just like the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she told her husband, hey, the kid's coming out the back, and he didn't hear.
Okay, and?
The kid basically lived to about 15, but as a vegetable.
Yeah.
And is that what you...
That's what the doctors are telling me.
Right, but what would you want for your son?
I would love for him to come back.
Well, I mean, obviously, in the best case scenario, but... How long are you prepared? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is when it's a horrible choice for a parent to make, but he can now exist without the aid of the machine?
Not at the moment, but you probably will be able to.
Yeah, well, but eventually you got pneumonia.
See, what they have to decide is if he gets the pneumonias in the future, just let it go.
Do you take care of him? Yeah. And what is your feeling about that?
Well, I leave it. I'm sorry to say that, but I leave it up to my wife because she's like, you know.
Well, listen, What you got? These are very difficult, very personal choices. But most importantly, you gotta help the child that's healthy.
Okay.
And you need to get him some help. He is a trauma survivor now. And you don't want to keep creating increasing levels of trauma for him by all the turmoil in the family and not attention to his needs. It's going to be long-term therapeutic involvement for him and really work on healing the trauma that he's been through.
Well, so he needs to speak to the doctors at the hospital.
Absolutely.
Who I'm sure used to dealing with this. But let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
How traumatic is it for a 2-year-old at the time or something, whatever the older son was at the time, someone that young to see somebody go into a pool? I mean, they're not eaten by a bear. It's not a lot of blood and noise and stuff. It's somebody falling into a pool. Got the idea it wasn't a good thing, but do you know what I'm saying?
It can be profound still.
It is.
Yeah, it can be.
But
not
as bad as...
it's a horrible thing, yeah, no.
Being attacked by a bobcat or something.
Yeah, but still, I think they kind of understand death. They kind of understand something horrible happened. And they watch their parents get traumatized. And yeah, it's bad.
All right. But good times.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back. Is the show.
That's Coldplay. Those Coldplayers.
Manic, name of the movie. I want to thank Joseph Gordon-Levitt for coming in here and just being a mensch, as they say in Hebrew. And that's about it until tomorrow night. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Sam, some say, I blah, 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 blah.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.